back. Back of my homie crib, top floor. In the back room with just the one little small window.
Hello and welcome to our last episode of this semester of Becca and the Boys. I'm Becca and I'm here with Marcellus Hill, JV Vinson, Carl Alloway, and special guest Tinashe Chigede. It's a sad night for me because this is my last episode of Becca and the Boys. But no worries, the boys will carry the show next semester.
Sad, isn't it?
Damn. Getting teary-eyed.
I just want to say thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
For tonight's first topic, Klay Thompson's 60-point night brings back memories of Wilt Chamberlain. Should he have been put up for trade for the Warriors?
No. Y'all already know the answer to this question. No. No, and you know why? Because he's the best overall player for the Warriors. He can play both sides of the ball. He's 6'7". He can score. Don't get Klay Thompson wrong. He can score whenever he wants to. Can play any from any guard in position on defense from 1 to 3. Dude is elite. I'm sorry, he shouldn't have been the one that can be, like, should have been considered being traded. That's just my opinion.
Probably the only time I think I've ever agreed with you. He has all the
here we go.
He has all the intangibles.
Yeah,
I mean, defensive player, offensive player.
He's good. And honestly, I'm mad at Steve Kerr for taking him out the game because he could have been on Kobe level. He could have easily hit 80.
I don't know about that.
He could have passed Kobe.
Hey, but you remember what happened last year when they was trying to chase records?
Man, that don't matter. Yeah. This is early in the season. Last year, they was chasing records at the end of the year. Bro, so, I mean, come on now.
29 minutes? 60 points, 29 minutes, didn't play the whole
game. He only touched the ball for 90 seconds, Carl. Touched the ball for 90 seconds.
I'm just saying, last year. I know he could have broken records, but last year they were chasing records.
Last year was the year of Curry. They could make this the year of Thompson.
Well, the year before that was the year of Curry, but.
No, sir. Curry was the most improved basketball player last year.
Unanimous MVP. Y'all know he did.
The year before that, he did.
Yes,
he did. Last year, he did not.
The year before that was arguable that James Harden could have got MVP.
Yeah, but I still thought his stats was better. Look him up.
No.
Look up the stats.
Hey, JV.
Google it.
Google it. Hold on, JV.
Can I say?
Go ahead, Carl.
This past season, Steph Curry was the obvious MVP.
Yes.
The year before, I'm just saying
the stats before that were better than those last year.
Wait a minute, I never agreed with none of y'all, and I'm still talking about efficiency.
I'm talking about efficiency.
Okay,
if you look at that, I'm saying, but there was nobody close to him last year, though. That's the only reason why he was
overall.
I'm just saying his stats weren't as good as the year before. I'm saying if you go to efficiency, it was better than the year before.
I'm pretty sure Steph Curry improved by like 7 or 8 points a game.
Yes.
In the next season, where he won the MVP,
he shot 45% from three.
Until y'all Google it and show me facts.
I don't need to Google it.
Them ain't facts.
He went 45-45-90. That is a fact, sir.
But I feel
that
like the year before that was better than the
He broke his own record for most made threes in a game.
You gotta realize MVP is basically a popularity contest. It's whoever's giving the NBA the most show.
I agree with that.
He possibly could have been more efficient the year before.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was still.
I agree with you on that.
But this past season.
Because there was nobody on his level last year.
But yeah, I'm going to say this past season, he got like 5 times more aggressive and he put up more numbers than anybody in the NBA could possibly touch.
Which is why he was a unanimous MVP. But honestly, this shouldn't even be a conversation right now because Kevin Durant is still a buster for going to Golden State in the first place. Like, honestly, man, I just got an ESPN notification today talking about how it was a tough decision for him to turn down the Clippers. And everybody talking about, he went from OKC to California. You got four other teams in California.
They tried to say it was a self-decision for him to turn down Boston. You know he don't want to meet up with LeBron.
Carl, hold on. Let's look at this.
You're exactly right, Carl. He don't want to meet LeBron.
Yeah, he don't. But, look. You telling me that they wouldn't have beat Golden State if they – let's listen to this, potential lineup for the Clippers. Chris Paul running the point. J.J. Redick at 2. KD at 3. Blake Griffin at 4, DeAndre at 5, Austin Rivers, Maurice Spates, Jay Crossover. Mute, all them coming off the bench? Man, the KD is a bust now. I'm sorry. Can we move on, please, Becca? Let's please not get into this.
Since we're all in agreement that Klay Thompson is obviously one of the best two-way players in the NBA, who would you cut if you had to from the big three?
Steph Curry.
I'm going to go with Durant.
JV,
I'm actually on the same page with you.
Because the chemistry was good just before he got there. Why would it not be good?
You're right, but
you're right. They did get rid of eight players to sign that man, so I guess it wouldn't be the same team and unit that they had before. But the Splash Brothers was doing it before he got there.
Yeah, you're right, but we're talking like this year. Like if we were to get rid of somebody,
productivity
this year,
of this year, I would get rid of Steph Curry. Definitely. I mean, yes, he's not a defensive player
at all. Kyrie,
just imagine if Klay Thompson wasn't on the Warriors and they went up against LeBron and company.
Who's gonna guard Kyrie?
No one's guarding LeBron.
That's what I'm saying. But people sleep on JR. JR can put the ball on the floor too.
Don't nobody sleep on him. They just don't know where his head is.
Man,
that fool shaking his hands. I mean, you're right.
All I know is the management. They listened to me when I said don't do it.
Coach Ty gave him the fluorescent green.
They knew better.
Anytime he wants to, he may not always make it, but he will give him any shot that he chooses.
That's what I'm saying. And that management knew better than that. JV, I told y'all last time when we was talking about this, they knew better than that. They knew they weren't finna get rid of him. That's just no.
They can't get rid of him. He's a baller.
He's a great baller.
He's a great shooter.
You don't get rid of him. Not him.
And his defense has improved.
That's what I'm saying. He's a perimeter elite lockdown defender. That's just that shouldn't even been a discussion. I don't know what the Golden State management was thinking over there, but they came to their senses. They really did.
All right, let's transition real
quick. On to our next topic. Does dress code matter? Cam Newton was benched for the Carolina Panthers offensive play Sunday night because he failed to wear a tie on the team's flight from Northern California to Seattle. Fair or not?
Definitely fair.
That's fair. That's the team rules, but that's Cam Newton's fault for not following the rules because what happens is, you can't blame what's that dude's name? The coach?
Ron Rivera.
You can't blame Ron Rivera. That's just a team rule. Those are grown men. It's just certain simple rules that you got to abide by. Cam Newton need to learn how to grow up. He still hasn't learned to grow up yet. He was being a child when he lost in the Super Bowl last year and didn't know how to respond to that. And he still hasn't improved and matured.
Does he think he's above the rules?
Sometimes, yes. I feel like he is. Because, we're talking about a guy that got kicked out of the University of Florida, had to go to Blinn for getting in trouble. And he was all world at Blinn, and then he went to Auburn, won him a national championship, and he got to do whatever he wanted to do there. So, this guy ain't really never had to work for anything. So, I still think he's just a child and just needs to learn how to grow up. That's just my opinion.
I got a question for you. If the Carolina Panthers were in contention for a playoff spot, you think Coach Rivera still does that?
Yes.
He would have.
Yes.
You think he would?
Yes.
Can I be honest real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Carl. Let me go after you.
I think this was just straight up punishment. Because
the way he's been acting all year, huh?
Something as simple as something as simple as not wearing a tie has you sit out for the first drive, and then they're already down 30 in the fourth quarter, and they still got him in there.
It's team rule. Yes, I agree with you on that. Yeah, keeping him in the game when you're already down by 30, that's punishment.
That one thing, I'm talking about
I agree with you on the standpoint that at the end, him keeping Cam Newton in the game, that's punishment. But at the beginning, that's just team rules, Carl. I don't care who you are. You got to follow the rules.
He was treating them like everybody else on the team.
Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, you can't punish every single player the same way. And I think he did a good job by just making them sit out a drive.
Let me throw in that this is the only thing that Carolina fans are pouting about. Y'all do realize, not even the first four or five play, the very first play, Derek Anderson goes out there and he throws an interception. On the first play.
But at the same time, the coach did not predict that to happen.
He didn't predict that to happen, but it happened because he played that backup quarterback.
I wouldn't even cause that. You got it.
If you're going to play the backup quarterback, why are you calling a pass play on the first play? You better run that ball.
That's not good. Go three and out or something at least.
You're right.
That play changed the entire game. That's why I think they got blown up. But
so y'all think that QB's the one deep?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I just honestly think with the, you know, with the vibe that the team had gotten, that the fact that their starting quarterback was being benched the first drive probably changed the whole mentality of the locker room and probably caused them not to even have faith going into the game.
Not to mention that, honestly, this is why I think Cam Newton just needs to learn how to mature. He's still thinking he can do whatever he want to do. The Carolina Panthers aren't doing good this year. You go from being a Super Bowl from 15-1, a Super Bowl berth to not even above 500?
A top 10 draft pick.
A top 10, Like, I just don't understand what happened. It's the same offensive line. Cam Newton continues to get rocked. I think that's why another thing, too. I think they stopped blocking for that man because they trying to teach him a lesson. That's just my opinion.
You know, I think Ron Rivera is mentally coaching for next year.
He always been getting hit that much.
He's giving up on. I think he's giving up on this year, and he's literally like mentally coaching for next year.
That's what I was asking. If their season was not over, do you think he would have done the same thing?
I think he still would have hit it.
I don't know.
That's coaching.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the whole drive.
That was the Seattle Seahawks.
I wouldn't say the whole drive. I say maybe the first, maybe play. First one or two plays or something.
The next play, do a pick the first play. So the next drive, the next play.
You're right, yeah. I mean, but then again, he probably would have ran the football if he knew that Cam Newton was going to go in. You never know.
That's true.
All I know, in my opinion, Ron Rivera did do a good job of handling that situation, treating him like everybody else. That's just being fair. True. Cam Newton behind needs to learn how to follow rules and act like a grown man. He is in the league.
But I got one more thing before Becca changes the subject. Do you see how these dudes went 15-1 and they went to the Super Bowl and didn't do nothing? Get prepared for the Cowboys. They ain't winning nothing. They ain't winning nothing. Dang. Change the subject, Becca.
No, man, Becca, no. Becca, can I please
Cowboys
say one
can
more
go to the Super Bowl and lose.
They're not going to do
They're nothing but hype.
They're not going to do that.
They're nothing but hype.
JV,
nothing
stop.
But hype.
JV, stop.
Nothing but hype.
The Panthers did not have Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant, Jason Witten.
I know you didn't just say Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant is extendable. They need to trade him and get somebody else.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't even need Dez Bryant. Like,
can we please change the subject?
They don't even need
Please, I know, but please, because he's about to get me stirred up again. Okay. Please.
We have a couple more topics continuing with the football theme. Okay, a move that may surprise a few, LSU's Leonard Fournette is taking his talents to the NFL after his team's bowl game against Louisville. Is this something y'all expected?
Yeah.
His team's not doing very well right now.
His team is not doing very well. They're going through a new coaching change. It's about time for Leonard Fournette to get up out of Baton Rouge, in my opinion.
Get up and get your money.
Yeah, because he is a very, very injury-prone guy, so he might want to start making his money while he has the opportunity. But, I mean, he's not the only good running back coming out this year. You got Christian McCaffrey, JV.
Who also declares.
He is a bad man, JV. Don't take nothing from that man. I got stats.
Stats are not going to do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening to this podcast, do you not remember Marcellus Hill saying that the ACC was better than the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 is not even one of the best Big Five teams? Big Five conferences, I'm sorry.
I didn't say that.
So you telling me a dude running all over the Pac-12, the conference you said wasn't crap, is worth somebody that's in the SEC running over SEC D-backs?
You did.
You going to tell me
that he's
going to be better than Leonard Fournette in the NFL? But you said the Pac-12 was nothing compared to the ACC.
Carl, let me say
and
something.
And I know that the SEC better than both of them.
I didn't say that they were. But hold on, let me get
you roasted the Pac-12.
He's still not letting me say
drug him in the dirt.
Can I say something, JV? Can I say something?
You can say something.
You do remember. Let me see, the 2015 Rose Bowl, or 2016, excuse me, Rose Bowl game, right?
Do you not know teams get up for one game if you only got to play one game? In the SEC, they getting beat up every single week by people twice their size.
Hold on. Listen, JV. How many total yards? This is our Hawkeyes, all right? What he did to them, that's a Big Ten team. And the Big Ten is, can we say that they're the best conference this year? Can we not say that?
Yeah, we can say that.
Iowa beat Michigan this year. So we talk about Christian McCaffrey, who had over 300 all-purpose yards, scored on the very first play of that game.
But at the end of the day, the only thing that makes the Big Ten better than the SEC this year is their offenses are better. The defenses
right.
do not compare to
I'm
SEC
I'm just saying,
teams.
you can't take nothing away from Christian McCaffrey. Let me chime in.
SEC defenses are a lot better than us.
You're going to bring up Iowa from last year? I thought Iowa last year was overrated. Their schedule last year was so weak. Like, it was weak. You can't say they were one of the top teams in the nation.
I mean, they were number five. Did they not have the number five spot?
Yeah, but it's because they had a weak schedule, just like Washington.
And I was about to say, and Washington does it?
We'll get to Washington later.
Oh,
but.
Yeah. we going to get on them. I have a lot to say about
them. We do have a lot to say about how they're about to give Alabama a run.
All I'm saying is,
money.
Of course, Leonard Fournette, yes, he's really good. He had over 1,000 yards both seasons. Christian McCaffrey had over 2,000 yards rushing last year.
Over 2,000 yards rushing, my friend.
Yeah. He had over 3,000 all purpose. Yeah. This year he had
Why
almost
are you
2,
boosting
000.
This man that ain't played nobody?
Oh my. He's
Why
good.
Are you boosting this man that ain't played
He's
nobody?
Good. He's good. He has played somebody. What are you talking about?
Who has he played in the SEC? SEC defenses are the best defenses in the
you
nation.
You are right.
You
but
know
just
this.
Saying, okay, but with Leonard Fournette play against the elite SEC teams like cough cough, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
And nobody runs against Alabama. And, okay,
we have Ian Kraft joining us.
Yeah. Oh, the only running back to ever run against Alabama's defense is Ezekiel Elliott.
But you said last week. Correct me if I'm wrong, Becca. Did he not say that man was overrated last
week?
He
is overrated. That's college.
We're not in NFL.
No, get out of here. Get out of here. Marcellus Hill has left the room. Marcellus Hill has left the room.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to have to agree with JV in the sense that Leonard Fournette would be a better NFL running back. Well, if we're talking strictly NFL running back.
I never said Christian McCaffrey was going to be a better NFL running back. I'm just saying y'all need to get this.
Oh, well, if we're talking about that, I agree. Yeah, he's a great athlete. Yeah, great athlete.
I thought we were talking about them both going to the draft.
Okay, but what I'm saying, I thought we were talking NFL standards. Yeah, but what I'm saying is y'all are asleep on that man. Christian McCaffrey going to go to the league, and he's going to be effective.
Watch
him be more effective than Leonard Fournette. More effective than Leonard Fournette. He going to come in, he going to be a third down back, ain't nobody going to be able to stop him. I'm just telling you.
You're telling me that Christian McCaffrey is going to be a better back in the NFL than Leonard the Man Fournette.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ian Kraft joining us right now.
One of the original members
of Becca and the Boys. Just thought I'd let y'all know about that. But, yes.
I've got something to say on that. Now, okay, as you know, I do a little bit of scouting on the side for the draft. And Fournette, ever since he stepped on a field his freshman year, has been the hottest prospect in college. Now, if you look at his stats across every game, every season, other than Alabama, the dude is an absolute monster. Now, Christian McCaffrey, I'm not going to sleep on him. The dude's going to be a great complimentary back in the NFL. But Leonard Fournette is going to step on that field.
You think he's going to be better than what Ezekiel Elliott is doing this year?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Depending on the team that he gets drafted to.
Let me say this. That's exactly right. Depending on the situation, Zeke is an incredible running back. I gave him a top 10 grade in the draft.
Okay.
But Zeke also got drafted into the best possible situation in the past 20 years in the NFL. There is no better team that Zeke could have gotten drafted on. Now, Leonard Fournette, if he goes in the top, let's say in the top two, the 49ers are probably going to pick second overall, right? Correct? Because the Browns are going to pair. So if, say the Browns take Myles Garrett first overall, if the 49ers don't see QB in the top five like Mitch Trubisky or Brad Kaya that they want to take, they might take Leonard Fournette. Now, if Fournette gets stuck behind the 49ers offensive line, behind Joe Staley and Joshua Garnett, Fournette's going to be garbage for years.
Yes.
But if he gets behind a team... Heck, I don't know. The Packers' offensive line has improved. The Vikings' offensive line, when healthy, is very good. Seattle's offensive line, when healthy, if they add another guard or two, is good. There are good lines in the NFL. If they get drafted by one of those, he could be an incredibly effective back.
The only thing I'm confused on is how the best possible – when you say the best possible situation – I mean, yes and no. The Cowboys have been terrible for years. They've been mediocre.
Not the O-line.
Okay,
not the O-line.
Okay, but it don't matter. You had DeMarco Murray who rushed for 1,800 yards behind that line 2 years ago, and we still went 8-8.
No, they were 12 and 4. Okay, but no. He went to the best situation for a running back. Are you from Dallas and don't know the Dallas Cowboys stats? Get out of here. I know my stats, man. Don't be questioning me. Check my RKs over here, though. I said my wrong year.
That's all I said. Man,
but
no.
Back to the Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey only averages six yards a carry. Leonard Fournette is 6.5.
In the SEC.
Okay, but does Leonard Fournette catch the ball as much as Christian McCaffrey? Does he return punts? Does he return kicks? No.
He doesn't need to because he's going to be on the field for all three downs in the NFL.
Exactly. He doesn't have to be doing all that special team stuff. They need that man for getting heavy yardage.
I wish we had a phone line on this radio podcast because I would take phone calls right now and get you guys' opinion on this because there's no way I'm the only one that thinks this. There's no way.
You remember, what was that dude's name from Oregon? DeAnthony Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to him, bro? He was in the Pac-12 rushing
problem. DeAnthony Thomas was also 5'9", 170. Christian McCaffrey is 5'9", 190. There's a huge difference. And Christian McCaffrey knows how to run between tackles. DeAnthony Thomas was just all speed. There's a difference between that.
The only thing I want to say is, can you tell me, I get that running backs nowadays have gotten shorter. You look at Doug Martin. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's running backs with that bowling ball build that have gotten better. But tell me running backs his size overall that have succeeded in the NFL immensely. When you look at Christian McCaffrey, I'm gonna throw one name out at you. Reggie Bush. I see a Reggie Bush clone.
You think?
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yes, sir.
This is what I see. This is what I see. You remember this guy who wore number 28 for the Buccaneers in the early 2000s? His name was Warwick Dunn, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see potentially.
No, sir. He was a lot shorter, more explosive, like a Jones Drew.
Maurice Jones Drew was thick though down low.
Yeah,
he weighed over 200 pounds. All I'm just saying is when I look at Christian McCaffrey, I see maybe he has the potential to be a Warwick Dunn. That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. That's all I'm saying. All
right. I can respect that.
For our last topic tonight, but very well not least, college football rankings have come out. Number 1, Alabama. Number 2, Clemson. Number 3, Ohio State. And number 4, Washington.
Hold on. Before I'm going to let Ian start this off. All I'm going to say is we're not talking about Alabama because we already know what they do, and that's the only one that's undisputed. And can we agree on that?
Undisputedly not going to win the national championship.
I didn't say they were going to win the national championship. I just said they undisputedly have a spot in the Final Four.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I see what you're saying.
Go ahead, Ian. I know you want to.
Okay. I've got a hot sports opinion on this. Now, I know I've seen the polls. I know people are kind of upset about the rankings because some teams shouldn't make it in, some teams shouldn't. When the college football playoff came out a couple years ago, in their press release, they stated that conference championships were going to be worth more than anything else in the league. Now, hold tight. Now, if you look a couple years ago, why didn't Baylor make the top couple rankings? Because the Big 12 didn't have a conference championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And that hurt Baylor.
Yep.
Well, Ohio State has a conference championship. Didn't even make the game. Yet here they are,
number 3 ranked, in the country.
Ranked in the top 4 over the team that won the conference and beat them.
Unbelievable.
I think Penn State deserves a spot based solely on merit of what they've done in the season.
Yes.
Now, do I think they would beat? Because obviously they'd be in at number 4 probably, based on the rankings. Do
Penn
I think
State
they'd be
over Ohio State? Is that what you're saying? Penn State Ohio State or Penn State over Washington?
Because
I'd say Penn State over Ohio State.
What?
No, sir.
Do I think that Washington is better than Ohio State?
No.
No, I don't. I'm a Chris Peterson fan because he's from Boise. But
you're strictly going off of what the College Football Committee vowed to do when they were making these decisions.
Yes,
correct?
Exactly.
And I agree with you on that because Baylor did get robbed a couple of years ago because the Big 12, for whatever reason, got rid of that game, and that's the only sole reason why they didn't make the national or college football playoffs. So they're going against
their
word.
Or they would have got throttled by Ohio State.
I don't know about that, but we will never know.
We'll never know.
We will never know because, I mean,
Urban Meyer is going to win again this year.
You have JV.
Didn't he lose?
He did lose last year.
He's lost.
He didn't even make the national
championship.
He's
lost the game, but that doesn't mean he's about to lose this year. I mean, they turned the switch on last year, 2 years ago.
You think Ohio State has the best chance to win the national championship?
I really do. I think they're in the best situation.
I have to disagree. I don't know.
I do. I think they're on a roll.
I think they deserve a This is my take on it.
Who do you take?
I agree with Ian from the aspect of Penn State should be in the college football playoffs based off what the committee vowed to do when they made these decisions. I agree with that because that is not fair. How do you win? Wisconsin or Penn State, whoever won that game should have had a spot. Because how do you win potentially the hardest conference in the country this year? This year. Mm-hmm. Not talking about any other year. We're talking about solely
this
year.
I agree with you.
Big Ten is the best conference this year. If you look at the rankings, the most teams that are ranked in the top 25 are in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm.
That's not how you how say do, a team's the best team.
I'm just saying. They're easily the best. They're in the best conference this year. You win that conference and you don't even get in? Robbed.
I do think, okay, if we're going to talk about you think Ohio State's better than Alabama. Right, JV?
Not necessarily. That's not what I'm saying.
You think they're going to beat Alabama?
Because even when they beat them 2 years ago, I didn't think they were a better team than Alabama. I just think a team gets on a roll and they match up well with another team's offense and defense, special teams, then I think they win usually.
I agree with that on principle mostly, but it's – Alabama this year is like unlike anything we've ever seen.
I agree with Hold up.
Okay, maybe I worded that wrong.
Hold up.
Anything we've seen in the college football playoff era.
I agree with you. Alabama's a great team, but if you haven't been watching the past 2-3 weeks, Hurts ain't looking too good.
Hurts ain't looking too good.
He's not looking too good.
They got a wake-up call against Chattanooga.
You're right, but they also got a great defense and special teams that had their back in the SEC championship.
Hold on, JV. This is.
But you can't just say that offense is on a roll because they're not.
This is Jim McElwain, the Florida Gators head coach himself. This is his quote. This is Nick Saban's best Alabama team he's ever had from top to bottom.
I know that defense is the best that they've seen.
I'm not talking about the – no, he said top to bottom.
The offense ain't up there. The offense is not –
this is the best offense they've had.
That's not the best Alabama offense they've had.
Whoa.
I don't know about that, JV. Who is?
Alabama has never had a decent quarterback. Ever. Like their best quarterback,
AJ McCarron.
They haven't, bro. He might have been a game manager, but he had everybody around him to make plays. I mean, Hurts has been making a lot of plays, but he choked the last 2 weeks. That's all I'm saying.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has Alabama, before this year, ever been able, let's say if Alabama got down in a situation, which, I mean, that rarely happens, but let's just say they're down 3, 2 minutes left. Their offenses back then wouldn't be able to run 2-minute drill and get down the field.
Now
you have Jalen Hurts. You have Jalen Hurts with those weapons at receiver. Those dudes
Look,
are good, man.
Jalen
I'm telling
Hurts,
you, those
Jalen
dudes
Hurts
are good.
Jalen Hurts is a dog, bro. Great player, true freshman, destroying the NCAA. But I'm telling you, bro, the pressure is getting to him. If you watch the past 2 football games, he has not been easy. And this playoff is about to be a whole nother experience for him that he's not experienced, that Urban Meyer has experienced and has won.
All I got to say to
Nick
that.
Nick Saban's 1-2.
You're right. All I got to say to that is don't count him out. Because
I'm
you
definitely
had
not counting him out.
Cardale Jones came in, was a third-string quarterback. And came
but
in the,
you
got to
think about the intangibles that he had. He was what was that man?
He didn't have any experience. About 270. He didn't have any experience though. That's
but
what
we
talking about.
A big
pressure,
human running that
pressure,
ball, bro.
Pressure. That's what we talking about. He had never been in that situation. But he hadn't even played all year. Third
That's
string
true,
QB.
Bro, but you got to think about those that situation and that circumstance. He's a huge quarterback that they had never seen film of. That's a pretty hard guy to stop if he's coming at you full speed that big.
Yeah, I mean, you saw him next year. As soon as the teams got film on, Cardale Jones was shut down.
They had film.
But people has film on Jalen Hurts, and they still can't stop that man. That's my point.
That's not true, because the past 2 weeks they've been stopping him. The only reason he won that SEC championship they won was
that
special teams in that defense.
Yeah, you're right.
He has like a 45% completion rate against the blitz, though, and against Ohio State with Sam Hubbard coming off the edge like that, that's not going to cut it.
This is what I will say. I will say this. Alabama won't win the national championship, and I'm going to tell you why. If you do not turn the ball over, their offense is one of the most explosive. They're good this year. But how many touchdowns has their defense had this year?
Alabama's offense is the most explosive?
Not the most explosive, but they're one of the most explosive teams in this year. That's my.
They're not
that's
more
my,
explosive than Clemson.
I didn't see that. I didn't say that. I'm just saying. This is how you're going to beat Alabama. You keep – If you don't turn the ball over, because Alabama is in the double digits for defensive touchdowns, if you don't turn the ball over against Alabama, you win. I think Clemson's going to be the national champion, if you ask me.
Okay, let's go around. I'm gonna have to go with Alabama, honestly. I think Alabama's going to take it from Ohio State. It's going to be close, but I think Alabama's going to take it in the end.
Yep, y'all heard my vote, Clemson. Deshaun Watson's going to come back with a bang. They got a chip on their shoulder from last year, man.
He ain't even going to win the Heisman.
I'm going to have to go with Ohio State because their speed offensively, because Alabama, when they have to deal with speed, Magic, remember when they Alabama's defense had to play Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
They could not deal with that speed, yeah, man.
You're right.
That speed.
Ohio State
with JT
all day.
Barrett. With Ohio JT State. Barrett.
Can we all agree that Washington does not deserve to be in this like conversation?
I agree.
They're gonna get throttled by Alabama.
Michigan or
Penn State.
Or Penn State could have went over them. Yeah.
One of them. Alabama's gonna throttle Washington. I can't. Oh, my God.
But honestly, I think Alabama would have throttled Penn State. It don't matter who they would have played the first round. They wouldn't have throttled Michigan.
They might have throttled Penn State, but they wouldn't have throttled Michigan.
Not with Harbaugh.
Harbaugh is a genius. He would have made it at least a game, in my opinion. Penn State, yes, they'd have throttled Penn State.
But Michigan wasn't even the Big Ten championship.
All right, we're going to wrap it up like a present because it's almost Christmas break.
Bye, Becca. We're going to miss you.
Thank you all for being such loyal fans
and tuning in to Becca and the Boys. I'm Becca, and these are my boys. Thank you to our special guest, Tinashe Chikede, and welcome back, Ian Kraft. We enjoyed having you, too. Tune back in after Christmas break for more entertaining sports talk from the boys. I love you all and wish you a Merry Christmas. Coming through it in the morning.